Everybody, welcome, greetings, salutations, welcome to our brand new podcast called Wrestling While Black. We have four hosts. My name is Eric Compton. I got my co-hosts, Mr. Kendall, Mr. Mark,
Yo.
And Mr. Herb.
What up?
And we're gonna start where Kendall, go ahead and introduce yourself, man. Tell us who's your favorite superstar, and we're gonna roll it right down the chain. So we're gonna start with Kendall. What's up, man?
No word. It's Kendall, man, from Cali. By the way of Cali, even though I'm in, you know, New Orleans right now. So just a little bit about myself. Been a wrestling fan forever, as long as I can remember. And then favorite wrestler. So the thing about favorite wrestlers, I go through time periods. So I have favorite wrestlers at different times. And I would probably say my favorite wrestler right now is Randy Orton.
Okay.
So okay. I'm, you know, complete package. Randy Orton is my favorite wrestler right now.
Okay. And where do you find you at, man? You got social media platforms?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm on social media. You know, I don't post a lot, so don't be disappointed about that. But when I do, it means something. And we'll kind of get into that a little bit later, especially if you go to my latest post. But it is Blaze204U. That's Blaze 204 in the letter U. So find me on IG. I don't have a Facebook, so don't look for me there. But I'm on IG. I'm on Twitter. The name is the same. Blaze204U.
All right. Welcome, Kendall, to the platform. Welcome, Kendall, to the podcast. We're going to move smooth on over to Mr. Mark Stewart Sims. What up, man? Tell them about you, man.
How you doing? Mark Stewart Sims here, hailing from New Orleans, Louisiana. I've been watching wrestling since I was a little boy. I can remember my stepdad, when I was living in El Paso, Texas in the late 90s, he used to get upset with me watching wrestling. He was saying, you know, you would never see a $3 bill, because that's what wrestling is. And I won't ever forget that quote the rest of my life.
Did you eventually run his fame?
Oh man, every time like he would say that when I was young, I remember just being like so upset. But you know, because it's still real to me, damn it.
That's fair.
Hey, wrestling is not fake. That is a blasphemous statement. That will not be used.
Ever in our podcast.
On this podcast.
Ever.
Let's understand. Get
out
right now.
Okay.
We understand. So, but my favorite wrestler, that's a hard question to answer, but immediately what comes to mind, I mean, we all love The Rock as a kid, so that would be an easy one to say, but I'm gonna go ahead and say Kurt Angle. Because if he didn't have those you know, injuries that he had, those bugging injuries he had in his run with the WWE, he would probably go down as probably the greatest wrestler ever, in my opinion, if he didn't have that little situation. But
that's fair.
That's me. Okay. I'm Mark.
Dude, that's up there.
Yeah, that's a fair statement.
And my Twitter is M for Maverick, MFORMAVERI. CK, and my Instagram is the same thing, M for Maverick. Find me on there and I'll holler back.
All right, welcome Mark to the Wrestling Wild Black podcast, and then the other 25% of the owner, Mr. Herb. Tell him about yourself, man.
Yes, baby. Yes. It's me. I'm Herbie. I'm from the greatest part of Louisiana ever, Kennebra. We're the gateway to the world, so if you gotta come in or leave, you gotta come through Kennebra. But my favorite wrestler, I grew up watching Macho Man. Like, Macho Man is my end-all, be-all favorite wrestler. Like, me and my grandpa spent every Sunday watching, like, the TBS wrestling.
Superstation.
Yeah, Superstation. Ugh, fucking shit, dude. I could not ever, like, miss it. I would be mad at my grandpa when he didn't want to watch it because I thought he was lying. Yeah, you wanted to watch all this stuff, but no, we're gonna watch wrestling because that's why I'm here. Because I got another.
You know why I'm here.
Also, I do a pretty good like Macho Man impersonation when I'm wasted, but I don't drink anymore, so it's gone with the wind.
Shout out to sobriety.
Sobriety is true, man. Hey, that's And a little, and like a footnote, Tommy Dreamer is like right under there for some reason.
Okay.
I always thought Tommy Dreamer deserved better.
Okay. I met Mr. Dreamer a couple years ago, and he was a really nice guy.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the fathers of hardcore.
Godfather, yeah.
He had the coldest Godfather nickname in wrestling, dude. Like, the innovator of violence. Like, yeah. That sounds badass. I didn't know what the innovator sound was.
Yeah.
I know he knows something violent.
So, Herb, where they can find you at, man?
Oh, yeah. On everything. On Twitter, IG, even my OnlyFans. Chemical Herbie. I don't have
man, anything. And Lupin, you tell them about your OnlyFans, man, because I think that's epic.
I got an OnlyFans. Right now,
like, what you be doing on OnlyFans?
My
man's be eating cereal.
Yeah, it's just me in a nice pair of pajamas, and I just review cereal for you guys. That's it. Nothing weird. I might show my toes if you tip it.
How much should we talking about a month on your OnlyFans?
I just woke up in a new Bugatti.
Okay. I'm not mad at that. So he's on OnlyFans. Okay, we got a shout out to Herb on the OnlyFans. You know, we got to show support to the artist.
Nah, I got a really good pick on OnlyFans.
Hey, it's wrestlers with OnlyFans, and yeah, it's not just the female wrestlers, man. OnlyFans is to a lot of different things. Hey, Enzo got an OnlyFans. He will teach you how to wrestle. You know, not intentionally trying to name drop my man, but he has an OnlyFans.
Yeah, he did say that.
You know, $2-$3 a month. And he'll teach you how to wrestle.
So with that being said, my name is Eric. I would probably say my favorite wrestler. Ooh, y'all probably gonna give me hell for this one. But honestly, it is the Ultimate Warrior. So my favorite wrestler, the reason why my favorite wrestler is the Ultimate Warrior is because when I was a child, we didn't have a lot of money. My dad actually was able to scrounge up some money to go to the OG. It wasn't even called the Oracle Arena. Back in the day, it was called the Oakland Coliseum. So he actually had money to go take me to go see the Ultimate Warrior against Rick Rude. And I think I was like 3 years old, and my dad ended up buying this big old poster of the Ultimate Warrior, and he hung it up, and like that was there in my house, shoot, probably until I ended up moving out. So probably the Ultimate Warrior is my favorite wrestler. I definitely kind of got to agree with Kendall. Throughout different generations, I got a favorite wrestler, but all time, it's probably the Ultimate Warrior. And you can find me on the gram. I'm probably most active on the gram at Lenny Compton. You can find me at the Twitterverse at Eric T. Compton. But, you know, that's a little bit about us. And the show name does sound what it is. This is for African Americans talking about wrestling. And the reason why I think we all decided is because, you know, there's not too many of us in the wrestling community. Let's just be honest, fellas.
We were kind of going, you know, back and forth with the name, but you know, I like the name. It all started with a group thread.
It did.
Wrestling Wild Black.
It was it. Yeah.
And if you think about just the podcast in general, right? So we're talking about representation. You're gonna hear that word, that term thrown around a lot. We need more representation. Outside of the New Day, I can't tell you about another all black podcast.
I couldn't think of one. You know, I was trying to think of
I
one.
I couldn't think
not
of
one. Yeah.
And that's an issue. We should be able to talk about a few. Oh, right. Man, they got way too many.
Maybe Mark Henry. Maybe.
Podcast. I don't think it's all black.
Mark Henry doesn't have a, he's on Busted Open.
Right.
He's with, you know, everybody else he worked with is white.
Right.
So.
Right.
What about Booker T? What about his podcast?
Booker T. You know, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Booker.
It's an individual, though.
Okay.
It's an individual podcast where he has guests. But Booker is up there, but I guess as a group of gentlemen, I only have the New Day to compare to. I guess compare to.
Big shout out to the New Day because they are definitely a really big inspiration, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Man, them boys my idol. I ain't gonna sit here and lie to y'all. I'm the biggest New Day fan. So
with that being said, we definitely gotta give Anchor the proper shout out and recognition for allowing us to use this platform to be able to record our podcast off the Anchor app. And this podcast is available on all platforms. So if you got Google, Apple, Spotify, Google us in general, you'll find us. So definitely hit the like, subscribe, and comment and let us know what y'all think. So drum roll, I think we're going to go into our first topic, man. And, you know, you all got me to One thing about this group that we do is definitely I'm probably the negative Nancy of things, but recently y'all been trying to get me on the WWE hype, man, and I've watched a couple of WWE pay-per-view events, and the most
because
recent
we,
one was what?
We put a gun to your head and made you sit down.
yeah, there's that, but we watched Payback on Sunday as a group. So one thing I can say is that I definitely enjoy watching pay-per-views with y'all. Like, y'all definitely make it not as bad. And if it's bad, then at least I can watch bad TV with my boys. So we watched Payback on Sunday. So
We did.
What y'all think, man? So anybody who want to go, tell me what y'all initial thoughts was, and we can definitely just give our 2 cents and, you know, chop it up. Because this is what the show's all about, just chopping it up.
You remember when we were kids and we were just like, damn, when we watched Dragon Ball Z, there's always these long-ass filler episodes, and some of them were dope.
Right.
That's what Payback
before the epic
was.
Battle.
Yeah, Payback was a good filler pay-per-view. Something to glee. I don't know what's coming next. I'm not sure. There's a Night of Champions.
Clash of Champions. Yeah. Clash of Champions.
Which is 4 weeks out. Right. At least they got some time to build it instead of just like, yo, we got another pay-per-view next week.
Right. That was weird. Payback. They threw Payback out of nowhere.
That makes zero sense that it came literally 7 days after SummerSlam, which is one of your big four events of the year.
Yeah.
Like, it just, I don't know. I didn't get that.
I can't recall a time a WWE pay-per-view having that quick of a turnaround
back
time.
To back.
So this is definitely a new territory within this COVID world that we live in. So this whole week between, SummerSlam and then what, Payback, would just... This is kind of strange, but Herb, that is a excellent way to describe it as a Dragon Ball Z filler episode. Essentially, that's what it was. It's like it filled in some things just like to get you along the way, but it didn't move the needle per se.
Yeah, it was definitely a Goten Trunks episode where they just go off and do some shit together.
Right. I mean, Ken, what you thought, man? Because I personally. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna say I enjoyed it, but it wasn't. I've seen worse. Like it definitely wasn't.
I would say it was not a. So this is what I want us to sort of do. I guess if we start reviewing pay-per-views, I either want us to give it some sort of grade or some, you know, not a super big sliding scale, but sort of like it was great, it was good.
It was,
or no, it was
average.
Great. It was okay, or it was bad. So
well, it was okay.
You know, just sort of like three things. Like it was either great, it was okay, or it was bad. And I would say I'm right there in the middle. I would give it an okay, grade. It was bearable to watch.
Would you run it back? That would always be my question. Would you run that pay per view back on the network? The answer,
you know, with it, no. But would certain things be ran back regarding it? Sure.
Right.
And
right,
of course,
the actual
I'm speaking specifically about Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking specifically about the start of his heel run, essentially. And, you know, when it's looked back on of like, and they're doing a WWE film and they're going through the years and, you know, it's going to point back to this
night. Yeah.
That's sort of what I remember is just, I remember Payback for him coming out. I mean, in the whole ring breaking, I kind of got mixed feelings about that. Exactly. You forgot about it, right? It was something that you were watching.
It's been done before.
It's been done like two or three times now. So
we're basically
gone.
It was unnecessary.
We're numb to it. It didn't need to happen. I mean, I get it added to the, you know, the allure of like, okay, now they beating each other up. Here comes Reigns with Heyman, which I think was absolutely genius. Had a man sign a contract right, you know, when he did it. I would have personally preferred him sign it, go in there, you know, and just pin somebody and walk out. Like, literally not have to do anything.
That would have been good.
Which would have, again, really, really, really would have made people pissed off. But
I would have been swinging at the air.
Right? That's the point. That's the, you know, it would have made people maybe as mad as, like, the finger poke of doom. But in this instance, it would have essentially worked and progressed the story forward. It wouldn't have flopped like WCW, because the man literally, he has Heyman, and dude, anything Heyman is touching, especially, you know, with Roman and what they can do. I'm excited about it. Like, I don't know if y'all peep Twitter, but the heel run has started already. You're telling people to keep your mouth closed. Or the reason, you know, I'm down on your throat is because you got your mouth open. So so it begins.
Mark, what you think, man?
I would say it's definitely like a middle-of-the-road pay-per-view. And that's not to say anything, you know, bad or good. Just middle-of-the-road, you know.
Right.
I would say probably for us to like, really break this down best for our viewers, we should go match by match.
Okay.
And then... also, with that, we can like give a flow of how they set up the pay per view and see if we think from match to match if it flowed well. So the opener we had was Lashley versus Apollo Crews for the U.S. title. And I remember us talking about it and saying, you know, the match wasn't bad, but it wasn't the best. And I remember us, we gave it a 3 out of 5.
We did.
And so that the ending, I didn't see Lashley making a power tap. I didn't see that coming. The photo op at the end was dope, except for that first picture. That first picture was terrible. I completely agree with you, Eric.
It's the third picture for me.
Yeah. The photo op.
I like the photo op. I like the photo. I think they should stick with that and let that be something just they do. You know, have a photographer on just ready to do that.
It would look amazing in Underground.
Yeah.
And let's not forget the most important part of that match. What we all were like hoping for was at the end when Apollo attacked Lashley at the end of the match, because we all kind of have like the same feelings on Apollo. Like, the dude is gifted, the dude can move in a ring, that's not a problem,
but he's just so nice.
He's nice, man. Like, he's nice. His personality doesn't have any aggression to him, and I want that a little bit, you know.
You would let Apollo Crews take your daughter out.
Here's what I will say. Is I hope, and I'm kind of, I don't want to veer off topic, but, you know, Keith Lee had that issue a lot, and he's starting to shift away from it, which I think is a good thing. So, hopefully Apollo... You know, no, I don't shift too much. Like, no, Keith Lee used to be, it was very, we'll dedicate some time to it, but, you know.
Hey, I might have to go back and look, because I don't really remember Keith Lee out here smiling too much.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Y'all ain't been watching Keith Lee since his start in NXT. It was all about smiles and basking in glory and, you know.
Anywho's, we trying to stay on subject.
Just so y'all know, I go off on tangents, so just kind of get used to it. That's why y'all are here to reel me back in. So
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah, we trying to stay on course. So I've seen better opening pay per view matches. I wouldn't even been mad if Asuka, if Bayley and Sasha Banks got kicked the match off. I think that would have been a good way to kick off the night, being the fact that it was a filler pay-per-view. But, Mark, I guess you want to go through the next match.
The second match was Sheamus versus Big E. But before we get to the second match, I have to air agreement. Because between that first match and second match, it had so much time of, like, commercial nonsense and other, like, backstage stuff that... Quite frankly, I didn't care about that. Didn't capture my attention. I just wanted to get past that. So hopefully they don't do that again.
Right. It's a pay per view. I'm already low key kind of blowed that they even do commercials. Like, I don't care if it's just for the WWE shop. Like, I don't want to see, like, this is a pay per view. This should be, and we're paying $9.99 a month on the network. Why are you showing me ads? I don't care if it's a WWE 24. I don't want to see no ads. Like, they didn't used to do that on when you had to pay 59 bones on a regular.
Exactly. I don't mind the backstage segments, because that's cool.
Right.
That's wrestling.
Some
dude.
Funny stuff. Yeah, but the commercials and all that time frame, they can't do that again.
Right. Agreed. So you all said the next match was Sheamus and
Sheamus versus Big E.
Yes.
I think we gave that a 3 out of 5 as well.
I might have to renege on that 3.
No, really. I'm about to read
it. Don't disrespect Big E.
No, no. I don't think Eric gave it a 3 that night. I really don't remember Eric.
No, no, no. I think you gave it a 2, and I think you bumped it up to a 3. I can't remember why you bumped it up to a 3.
He gave it like a 2.5. I was full on 3 because we got to support E, man. We got to.
I mean, we do, but just because, like, here's the thing. Just because we on the bus don't mean I like where we going on this bus, the final destination. I may have to jump off this bus every now and then, so. All
right, I gotta, hold on. Now, we is disrespecting E because my mans was extremely passionate afterwards, and he got me amped up, and he definitely got all in Corey's face, and he said his piece, and he was like, you know, like, it is what it is. I'm here. I'm ready. Talk about that. You know, so I'm excited.
I could forget about that match already, to be honest with you.
But the ending was, I enjoyed the ending though, because it did that. He had that power bomb and then that transition into the big ending. So that was good. That showed some aggression from Big E with that.
I think they're gonna have to pull the trigger on him with his main event push. Like, it's now or never at this point for him.
Yeah, they're gonna have to do that at some point, because if they wait too long for either Woods or Kofi to get back, that's gonna water it down a little bit. And you know, quite frankly, Big E deserves a single run on his own. He can pull that off.
Because I think he's only had an IC belt run as his only singles.
Yeah, title, he had that one IC run, and that's a. Yeah.
Did he really?
He did.
Vaguely,
yeah.
Vaguely, a long time ago. Yeah, this is before New Day, so he's only had like one IC title run. Which I mean, you know, IC titles, you know, they ain't nothing to really blink
at.
That's
my favorite. That's my favorite favorite title. It's really my favorite.
It's not a title to blink at, but you know, I think he
could be the 24/7 champ.
Yeah. It's definitely a step above 24/7, but you know, there's that. So, I mean, if I said 3, then we on wax on the show. So if it's on wax on 3, then we're gonna keep it at 3. I feel like I gave out a lot of sympathy 3s this past Sunday night. But what else we got, Mark?
All right, the next match was probably the match we all were like, just like, let's end this. Was King Corbin versus Matt Riddle. So I remember this one for sure, Eric. Eric, you gave this one a 1-star because Corbin was in it.
I wish I had full time so I could have gave them 4s, no stars, but we have to give 1. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I forgot. I can't give you a rating on a match I don't remember.
Right. I mean,
I remember a little bit of it, but there's nothing like memorable about it. Nothing about
That's
it
cool.
will make
no,
me
you're fine, Mark.
Come
cool.
back to watch it. Right. You know, like you said, like, I didn't even remember the match until I saw it. I written it down that the match existed. Right.
So, Mark, match so bad. The match was so, you know, non-memorable. It's got your tongue tied.
Well, not only that, it's like anything that King Corbin touches, it's so
it's trash. We don't care about the dude at all. I've never cared about Corbin ever. There's been nothing he has done that's made me care about him.
I mean, Kendall and I have this. I mean, we talk about this all this time. There's different type of heat. There's heat where, you know, there's a heel where you hate somebody so much you want to see this person get his butt kicked. And then there's a different type of heel where you're just like, bruh, I have
go away heat.
Go away, like, bruh, like, I'm getting up and I'm walking away, and I'm not coming back. Like, I have zero interest to see whether you win, lose, draw. If Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out and drops a truck on you, like, I don't care. Like, I have zero interest in showing you. I think it comes to a consensus that we just don't care about King Corbin, and I don't even know why they're shoving this dude down our throats because nobody cares.
Because Vince,
nobody
cares. He's handsome
enough. Enough people hate him or dislike him.
He did a reaction. So I know in wrestling is like a reaction is better than no reaction.
So he gets no reaction from me where I just get up and walk away.
Yeah.
That's
but
my reaction.
I don't think the WWE understands that the reaction that they give to him is like, you know, like, dude, like, take this dude out the ring, take this
give
dude
him the gender
back in Gorilla. And like, just say like, look, go away. All right, that's what we want. But you know,
nah. I mean, look, I might be the only one person here that I'm not that saying that I'm not tired of Corbin, but there was a point in time where Corbin, they had something with Corbin. He was a great heel. He was one of the best. I think his time with like him and Roman, like that was it. That was
They did too much of it.
Yeah, it was a small window.
And that wasn't Corbin's fault. But I'm gonna say this: at the end of the day, if they need a heel, because again, he's one of the biggest heels. Okay, so outside of Corbin, being a heel, and outside of Corbin's a bigger heel than Ziggler, dude. People don't care that much about Ziggler.
That's the way about care more to boo
Corbin
like
than they will Ziggler.
Ziggler fell off like that. Nobody cares about Corbin and Ziggler. Is what I'm saying. Like, you can have them both there. They'll get a reaction, but it's a reaction if you're just going to get up and walk away, in my opinion.
Corbin's your mid-card heel. If you need a mid-card heel to get beat up by like somebody like a Riddle,
I don't care.
Or literally any mid-card wrestler.
I don't care. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't care. I'm not watching it. So here's the thing about Matt Riddle. I legit forgot that he was even in SmackDown. So my thing is, what the hell are they going to do with Matt Riddle? Because like we say about how Cedric Alexander is this, Apollo Crews is this nice guy with a mean streak. I mean, you got Matt Riddle running around here smiling, saying bro and all this and other stuff. I mean,
I'm not feeling that either. So,
because he can perform in the ring so well, man.
Yeah, he can. Exactly. I mean,
there's no end game with him. Like, what are they going to end up doing with Matt Riddle? So, is it going to give him a push for the IC Championship? Like, even in NXT, he was somewhat stuck in a hard place where he had that North American title run, but they really didn't have nothing else for him to do, and they kind of stuck him with Pete Dunne and had that random tag team championship that kind of came out of nowhere.
Hated it the whole time.
Right. Yeah, he did.
He looked miserable.
And I mean, ain't nobody heard from Pete Dunne since then. So there's I'm just saying.
You're not going to blame Matt Riddle for killing off Pete.
No. I'm not blaming that. I'm not blaming that on him. But I'm just saying, I don't know what the end game for Matt Riddle is. I don't know if there needs to be a gimmick change or like he needs to turn heel. But
this is what it is.
He belongs in TNA.
Where does he belong?
He belongs in TNA.
He belongs in AEW.
I wouldn't say that. He would get lost in a shuffle in AEW.
You'd be dead in New
Japan.
Because
there's a lot of shuffling.
Nah. New Japan or Ring of Honor?
That's perfect, actually.
New Japan, because you got Juice Robinson, who's like this.
He would be great in New Japan. Damn.
Yeah,
he would
thrive.
You know what?
He's perfect in New Japan. Like, he's perfect. Like, you can't, he doesn't have to do a lot of talking on the mic. You know, there's not really too much promos going on. Even the little promos that he does, all you got to do is just say, drop a couple of bro lines and this and that, and maybe have him challenge, I don't know, the open weight championship. Like, he doesn't even have to be facing against the Naitos or the.
I want to see Riddle and Ospreay. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I mean.
Ooh, that would be good.
So I just feel like it's a, I don't know how I feel about Riddle. And that's not a knock against him. I just feel like it's just one of those WWE things where you got a talented dude and they just don't know what the hell they're doing with him.
So we can say that this match was the case of, someone that WWE doesn't know what to do and someone that no one cares about. So it was bound to be trash.
Vince McMahon.
Vince is back there. Vince don't care no more. Vince knows his baby back, so he ain't tripping.
Yeah, buddy. That's a whole nother can of worms. Y'all saw Vince ain't been on TV since the Titan Tower match. And then he just made a little cameo. But Roman comes back and his man is finally back on TV. So you're right. He happy. His baby back.
Yeah. So Mark, what else is on? What else?
All right. Match, the fourth match, is going to be the Sasha Bailey versus Baszler Nia Jax match.
Might have been match of the night, bro.
I wouldn't give it that.
I wouldn't give it match of the night.
We'll leave it. We'll leave it up for discussion.
It's a strong factor why we got we rated it at a hard. Like, I think we give it a mid.
We gave it a 2 out of 5 is what I have written down here.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fair.
I have to say, I hate the champions coming out first, no matter
champions should never come out first. Never.
It just lets you know they're going to lose.
Yeah, which
they regardless if they don't lose or win or not, champion. They're the champion for the reason, so the champion should not come out first. That just irks me. That just drives me crazy. I don't know why, but it just does.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was just gonna say, you know, between that, I mean, all the champions that came out. I mean, I think all the champions that came out first this last Sunday all lost. I think I don't remember if Apollo Crews came out first or not, but all three titles did switch hands on Sunday.
And that's so weird that they would just do that on a mid-level pay-per-view. Everyone changed titles.
All titles change hands on a pay-per-view, which is pretty rare.
The Fiend came out first, right?
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah, because Braun attacked, man, what is going on?
Wait.
Yeah.
Fiend came out first. Yeah. He had to come out first.
I wrote it down.
He had to come out because he had to come out in order for how the match started. So he had to come out first. Go ahead.
Let's talk about the finisher. For the fourth match, for the tag match. For the
I wasn't mad at that at all. I was actually kind of tight. As much as I can't stand Shayna Baszler, I actually wasn't mad at that.
Hindsight, it is tight, but in the moment, it made me upset. Just because I don't like the... They're like, all right, so obviously they're trying to keep her authentic.
Shayna Baszler?
Yeah. They're trying to keep that. But then the fact that she locked up two people made Sasha and Bayley look weak. That's in fair. That moment in my position. And I think Sasha, you can't make them two looking weak, especially if you're gonna build up to this feud between Sasha and Bayley.
They made them look like the Iconics. I could see.
Right. And you know, y'all know I hate them. So let's not even get on that.
I want to know who pulled the trigger on this? Like, whose idea was this? Because it made them both go out weak, and it wasn't what you need if you're going to build. This is something that's been brewing since they hit the main roster.
Yep,
Herbie. This is what I think it is, man. I think it's a very cheap way or expedited way to get to where they kind of want the story to go. They want to have the Bayley Sasha feud. So cool. Let's take the title off of Sasha. And hey, we ain't going to go too far than that. We're going to save that for another day too. But let's take it off of Sasha. Let's take the tag team, you know, titles off of them. And now Sasha has a reason to feud with Bayley. Sasha's going to end up being a face, just in my opinion. You know, because Bayley's gonna be like, oh, well, hey, I got my, you know, I still got my title, and Sasha's gonna have some beef with her because they lost the titles. Sasha didn't tap. Bayley did.
Do you think where do you think this is all gonna be the payoff at though? Because if the payoff is Mania, this is too early to pull that.
No. Yeah, it has to be Survivor Series.
So
which gives them 2 months. It's 2 months.
It's still a Big Four. It's still a part of the Big
Four. It's part of the Big Four. So you have Mania. And you have SummerSlam as your second biggest pay-per-view.
Right, I get that. But are we still considering Survivor Series it's a Big Four pay-per-view on like billing it. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's the least of the Big Four that we actually want to tune in.
Yeah.
Perfect example, not to get too much off topic, but like last year when they brought NXT in, it was like, all right, whatever, and like all these storylines fizzle out because it's cross brand. So
no, it wasn't whatever. I like Survivor Series last year, man. No, it wasn't. That's how Keith Lee got his start, my man.
Oh my god.
Keith Lee. NXT winning, actually getting over. NXT won all of the won the Survivor Series. They had the most wins.
Yeah.
And what happened after that? And what did they do after that?
They carried the company for the rest of the year.
Pretty much. Because we know Raw and SmackDown was trash.
So they carried the company, and then what happened after that? Did the storylines continue after that? Did we get any more invasion angles?
I don't know. Mojo Rawley.
Invasion angles was only meant for Survivor Series.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's
for Survivor Series.
This is not really an invasion storyline, though. I don't think
they're all three main brands now, so it's no like them invading. They're gonna show up.
It's about brand pride and brand supremacy. It ain't about invading. They do the invading to get to the pay per view.
No. So here's the thing about Survivor Series. Yeah, they tried to make NXT a...
By the way, guys, brace yourself. The end of the day, this is when the hate's going to come through.
No, it's not really the hate. I'm just saying, like, it's...
It got hot in here real quick. I know that much.
I know. Hey, you know, that's what we do. We turn up the heat. But, I mean, I say that saying that NXT's cool and all, but the common wrestling... The casual wrestling fan isn't really going to turn into NXT on every Wednesday. I mean, we are. But, I mean, let's call it spade a spade. Like, their ratings aren't really still showing it. They're not reflecting. They're not even pulling Raw numbers. And Raw numbers are the lowest they have ever been.
Well, NXT, Raw numbers have been... Raw's different, though. But Raw's been there. It's a staple of...
It's a show that's almost 30 years old, and they can't even beat that, bro. Well, and it's probably
who
the
says they
show.
Have to.
They, I mean,
who says they have to be Raw?
Who says that they don't? Like, you got to show some type of validity.
Their only concern should be AEW.
If they can't even beat their, so if we're supposed to take them legitimate, and Survivor Series, they were the little engine that could and actually made it. That should have more people want to tune in to NXT, correct?
I think that was the goal.
I would say that's the goal.
That was the goal.
The goal was to get more people to tune in. Now,
did we get those results?
Not really.
Okay, then there we go.
But then again, let me put it to you this way. How long had they been on the network, Eric? Had they been on USA when Survivor Series happened?
I really don't know, to be honest with you.
Barely 2 months. Okay. Barely 2 months.
And here we are a whole year later. Or almost a whole year, coming up on a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And where are we gotten?
They're trending somewhere in a 600-ish,
okay,
700 on a good week.
Okay,
I think it's your range.
This is a great topic for another podcast.
The little engine that could.
So we were on the Bayley and Sasha.
Bayley and Sasha. My baby's mama.
And Nia match. So we gotta keep it moving.
All right. So the fifth match is Keith Lee versus Orton.
Which Kendall was surprised by that.
Why were you surprised?
You were surprised, not me.
Oh, I was absolutely surprised. I think the world was surprised.
I wasn't.
Y'all were not surprised. So y'all expected Keith Lee to hit a spirit bomb on Orton, pin that man clean in the middle of the ring with no shenanigans. One, two, three.
Nope.
That's what y'all was expecting.
I didn't see that coming.
You a lie.
I swear to God.
You're right. I didn't, because I thought that Drew was going to come back and, you know, insert himself in the match.
So here's the reason why I knew that there was no way they were going to let Keith Lee lose that match. Keith Lee is the first double champ in NXT. You let this guy, I don't care if it's Randy Orton, who's a legend killer, you can't go in his first pay-per-view event and have him take an L, because that literally, what you just said, Kendall, demolishes everything NXT has built for the last 2 or 3 years with them building that momentum. That literally just wipes out Keith Lee's street cred. You can't have the first double champ lose his first pay-per-view match. I don't care if it was...
Why would he have to lose? I never said he had to lose.
You just
he still could have won through via... I said he could have won via disqualification. I expected the man to win, Orton to do something, you know, to get him disqualified.
I just knew that he was going to win
basically,
clean. I just knew for a fact he had to win clean. There couldn't have been a DQ, because even then that still makes him... I mean, it protects him.
It could have been a DQ. Orton couldn't low blow him?
That makes you look
so
weak.
So it makes Keith Lee look weak if Orton kind of low blows him and kicks him in the head and punts him?
Kind of, sort of,
how does
that
make him look weak?
No, man.
Orton's done that to everybody.
Why
this is Randy Orton we talking
double
about.
Double champion to put Randy Orton on his first night here.
Thank you.
That doesn't make sense now. Now you're burying the guy. You know, are you
Thank
Triple H fan or something?
You
down
with Paul?
I'm just gonna say.
Are you on the deal? There's no way you can let him lose via DQ on a low blow, a chair shot, or anything like that. It literally wipes out the validity. You say that it may not make him look weak, but it does make him look weak, bro. Like, it just takes away all the street credibility. It is. You can't do that, bro. There's just no way. While what they should have did, maybe had him against, I don't know, MVP. That would have made, maybe, like, I could see where you're saying that you just were shocked that he actually beat Randy Orton clean. because it's Randy Orton. Like, I get that part, but him losing, like him just losing any old type of way, it just couldn't happen, bro. There's no way it could happen. Not to mention all of the heat that he had been getting the last week, whether it's music, his ring gear, and all that other stuff, and then he loses on his first pay-per-view, bro. The internet would have came hard.
Yeah, it would have came down hard on.
It would have been.
It would have been disrespectful.
Route, yeah, and this is a Wrestling Wild Black, so then you got to start playing that card too. Like it was a storm brewing that you just got to let this man win, Kendall. I can't
That's why I didn't want it to be someone like MVP. Because they, we did notice it earlier, but also I do realize that maybe everyone on Raw right now may be black. I don't think there's too many non-black people.
No, it's what I brought to y'all attention, or maybe it was just Eric's attention. I was like, you do realize that all the black superstars are just feuding and wrestling with each other, correct? Cedric, right. MVP, Lashley.
Can you say Ricochet?
Shelton Benjamin. Ricochet.
Hey, you know Vince can't help the black on black crime. You know he can't help but write it. You know he can't help it.
Definitely.
Even when you have another black wrestler show up as a special guest, i.e. Mark Henry.
So that's what I was saying, Kendall. Like there was just no way. It would have been all bad if this man lost. Like he had to win clean. Like there was just no way he could have lost any old shit performance. What I was saying. So that's why I was in shock. Like I just knew he was gonna beat him clean.
So we gave the match 3 stars. Do we still want to keep that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it 3. There's nothing that stood out. I mean,
I would give it 3.5. Why I'm not gonna the 3.5. I'm not gonna say 4. Just because there's a lot of factors in there, but you know, wrestling wise and the story they took, because again, it's a story and it's Orton, one of the best in the business. But especially for how it ended, and I would give it 3.5.
So you go 3.5 with the shock value
for myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right. Next, let's move on to match 6, which is probably the most interesting match of the night. The Mysterio family versus Rollins and Murphy.
All right.
Dominique Mysterio.
All right.
Who's your daddy? That's what I want to know. Who's the real daddy? We still trying to figure this out years later.
I have my 2 favorites from the match. Buddy Murphy doesn't get enough credit. I am a big Buddy Murphy fan.
I am too.
Sorry, he's done a good job with that role.
Murphy.
Well, but even before that,
he's playing
it just
perfect, man.
Yeah.
Even when he was a cruiserweight champ, you know, really if you really want to see how great he is, just his 205 live run.
Agreed.
Man was a beast. Beast.
Big facts, Ken. Well said.
But he was he was the MVP. And of course, Dominic, just because he's getting put out there, and it's not in a, you know, like we just need to put him out there, and you know he's Rey Mysterio's son, and let's try to get him over like we did with Roman Reigns or whomever. Like it's a decent start, and then at the end of the day, you know, and he kind of touched on it on like a private interview. It's still pretty cool. He gets to wrestle with his dad, and he also brought up the fact that how he wish, you know, Eddie was still around to actually see him wrestle, you know, in his first pay-per-view, and how things kind of came full circle, still having Ray being involved. So I'm excited, man. I think he's got a long lengthy career ahead of him.
Throughout the match, I would say he had some good spots. He moves pretty well. I'm looking forward to see him grow more. His ring attire is pretty dope. I think he can be pretty good. I'm looking forward to this Prince Mysterio you guys are telling me about. So let's see. Hopefully that character comes to be in the future. But the match was a decent match. I like how they kind of show Dominic kind of paying dues throughout this storyline. You know, like with those getting hit, you know, by the candlestick or belt or whatever it was, and it's tied to the rope. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like, you know, dude, you about to pay your dues. We're going to show you, you know, we're going to embarrass you here in front of everybody. And he took it like a man. Right. And, you know, that's commendable for him and his career moving forward.
Yeah, but the thing is, Dominic's not a rookie. He's been wrestling for at least 5 years now.
Told y'all, he's been in Mexico.
Yeah, he's been in Mexico, man, doing his thing.
Wrestled for AAA, and yeah.
Yeah, so my man's not an amateur in that ring at all. Like, he can hang. Mm-hmm. Like, he can do it. So I'm just ready for them to let it go. Like, we've done the program now. What are we gonna do with Dominic? Are we gonna send him to NXT, or is he gonna stay on the main roster? Let's get it jumping.
That's interesting. Right.
Because, like, you know, like, in how wrestling works, like, you could be hot now, and by SmackDown Friday, you ain't shit.
There's that too. You're right.
Because look how fast we keep forgetting about people that have made it to the main roster already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's that. So, it wasn't a bad match. And like Kendall's brought out, like, I think Murphy doesn't get enough credit. That title where he beat, I forgot who he beat, that it was a super show in Australia. I think it might have been
Tony Nese.
Tony Nese, I think
it's Tony Nese. Yeah.
Shout out to Tony Nese, also a really great wrestler.
Yeah, so, I mean, Buddy Murphy's dope. I mean, he doesn't get enough credit. I wish he would get a little, you know, some type of shine, but he definitely got a shine on.
Hey, he might get some shine. This may be leading to him turning on Seth, and, you know, he getting to be a face, you know, for standing up against Seth.
Yeah,
like it could be heading that way.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be mad at that at all. Murphy's definitely someone that people sleep on as far as in ring work. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a strong three. I think that's what I gave the mark, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we all decided on, the three stars with that.
Okay. All right. After that, I believe it's so the last next one match. Is the main event.
Yep, main event. Roman Reigns versus The Fiend versus Strowman. Again, the champion coming out first. It's BS. I hate it, but we move on. But I guess I can understand why they kind of did it with, you know, Roman coming in later in the match. But Strowman probably should have came out first. The way that they had Roman coming out, you know, later on and then signing the contract there is great heel work building up for that. I enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to see Roman as a heel, because it's something we all been waiting for. All his haters have been waiting for this. So let's see if they're still going to hate on him while he's a heel. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think that's what he needed.
I think they will try to, Mark. But as you've seen, if you on Twitter, he is the clap back is going to be real. And I'm excited for it, because I know I've seen hints of it here and there, where a little bit of his, you know, personality would pop out, mostly with Corbin, when, you know, Corbin was just getting done dirty, when, you know, him and Reigns had their feud, and Reigns would tell him, like, to shut up and slap him in the face, call him, like, a little punk and a pussy and all this stuff, and I'm like, man, he doing this grown man dirty, you know, but he doesn't really take that approach with everybody else, so it's well deserved, man. I think he'll actually get to just be himself, and be an asshole at it. Like Paul, just with the mouthpiece, talking dirty, and Reigns just going in there doing people dirty. Yeah.
I mean, he has
a nice 1-2 punch.
He has it in him to be a great heel, because, you know, look, he's Rock's family member. That family has it in him. He went to what Georgia Tech it was, so he yeah. you know, so playing on the football field, you gotta have a little gift of the gab, because, you know, you gotta talk some trash while you know, playing on the field. So it's in him. I just think that the WWE didn't give the chance to allow him to be himself, because Vince had this image of Reigns in his eyes or whatever it is, and no one wanted that. You know what I'm saying? So we're ready to move on, and I'm looking forward to see where it goes with him.
Yeah, I think one thing cool about this podcast and this group in particular is that there was so many hate towards Roman, and I remember it was three years ago now? Shoot, I think it was 3 years ago when we all was at WrestleMania in y'all hometown in New Orleans, and we had this discussion where everyone was just hating on Roman, and we was all looking like, why? Like, and my theory, my logic was, okay, Roman, Vince handpicked this dude to be the face of the company. Right. So that's no different from y'all going to y'all job and the manager, the branch manager at y'all store coming to you guys and saying, hey, Herb, hey, Mark, hey, Kendall, we're going to make you guys the store manager. We're gonna make you guys the face of the company. And you all know deep down inside, y'all are damn near not qualified for those positions. But are you guys legitimately gonna say, you know what, guy, you know what?
I'm gonna pass, and I'm gonna be humble.
I'm gonna pass.
No way.
You doing that? So that was my logic exactly. We're gonna work on the audio on this, ladies and gentlemen. We definitely gonna work on that. This is why it's a pilot episode. But that was my logic. Is that how are you gonna get mad at someone because the CEO of a company handpicked the guy to say, hey, he's gonna be the face of our company? He's crazy as hell to say, you know what, dog, I'm good. And let's just say he were to say that. Let's just say Roman told Vince, hey, I'm good, Vince. I don't think I'm ready. Let's say Roman says, I'm gonna need 2 to 3 years to get ready and develop my character, yada, yada, yada. Those 2 or 3 years come up and they come by. He goes to Vince and says, hey, Vince, I'm ready. You think Vince gonna sit there and say, yeah, okay, we got you?
No way. Hell no.
No way. So if someone came to Roman was like, hey, bro, we about to make you the guy, he ain't got no choice but to say, okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And whether he was qualified or not, of course he's going to be like, yeah, you know what? I'm ready, dog. We're going to go ahead and do it. So for everyone saying that Roman didn't deserve it, or that ain't his call. You know, he's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. That was my logic, is that you can't hate on a man for getting a promotion, whether he was qualified or not. He's an idiot if he says, no, he doesn't want the promotion.
My man was just clocked in, dog. That's it.
He was at the right place at the right time.
I want people to realize this. This is how much I know people don't hate Roman as much as they say they do. Because people hated Cena. Like, they really hated Cena. Like, this is how much I hated Cena. I stopped watching wrestling when they were doing that Super Cena shit. I stopped. I said, I'm really? Not doing this no more.
Completely.
I stopped.
I loved it.
Okay.
I stopped. So I after a while, I was like, you know what? I'm not doing this no more because this is not me. I've never seen people really stop watching throughout this whole Roman Reigns fiasco. You know what I'm saying? People may say they stop watching, but you see them next week complaining again, right. Next week complaining again. When it came with Cena, people stopped. Like, people were like, I'm not doing this no more. So,
man, I'm the only one that liked it.
Nah, bro, that Super Cena shit, bro. No, hell
really?
No.
Okay, that's fair.
I didn't have an issue. I've never had an issue with Cena.
Yeah.
I've been with Cena since day one, Chain Gang, all of it. Hey, I ain't never had
same
an issue
why
with
we don't
Cena.
Have, and it's like the same thing like how we don't have an issue with Roman. Like, it is what it is. I don't see what the only thing I had an issue with was probably him beating The Undertaker, but that goes stemming back to Brock Lesnar beating
That ain't got nothing to do with him.
Exactly. So there's that. So that's my only beef, but other than that, it's not even a beef where I would feel some type of way about him, because if anybody who I should be mad at, it's probably Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker. But, you know, and Roman Reigns kind of picked up this a lot sloppy seconds and did it thug fizzle. So outside of that, that's just a small fraction of me feeling any type of way towards Roman. Outside of that, it doesn't really make me here or there. What I will say, y'all, on Wax, is that I feel like they're doing The Fiend dirty, bro. And that's just coming from a Fiend hater. Like, I don't understand how you let a man have the title for 7 days just for him to hot potato it. Like, I feel like he's always been a transition champion.
He's going to be the next Mick Foley for a while.
Yeah.
Mick Foley, you know, possibly Kane. He's probably a person that doesn't need a title to claim his validity around, but it also doesn't ever help to have. It doesn't hurt for him to have a title run.
You said it. Like, Taker. Taker hasn't really had, like, long
title run.
Title run. He's just had a good few, and he's just been a goddamn, like, the best at everything he does.
Right.
So, he just, carries that greatness.
Those characters are like that. Those characters really can't have long title runs. Those characters don't make sense for them to have long title runs.
So don't put them in the title match at all, then.
I don't mind them having a title match or having a title run for a bit of time, but they would never be like long champions.
Yeah, they don't protect their monsters also.
Yeah,
they'd
be monsters for like a year or two, then after that they go through like some terrible losing streak, and then after that, like, you're trying to build a character up. You can't build a character up, or again, because you just destroyed them. You know, we can think of how many big guys that went through that. You know what I'm saying? They look like monsters, like Rusev. Rusev was a monster for a while, and then
Super Cena.
Let's not even see. Super Cena. How many times we can? We're gonna have a podcast on Cena. We're gonna have a podcast on him at some point. But
I mean, outside of Rusev Day, I really wasn't the biggest Rusev fan. So I mean, I really wasn't mad.
Disrespect. Blasphemy. Oh my god. How did you even go to WrestleMania?
I mean, I woke up like this every day. Like, right, outside of Rusev Day, I really wasn't a fan of him.
So you didn't root for Rusev at WrestleMania 3?
No.
What? Rusev Day. Oh my god.
Eric,
why?
Wow, son.
This is why, man. This is why we call you a WWE hater.
No, I'm not a WWE hater.
That right there. Like Rusev Day? I ain't never in my life.
I said outside of Rusev Day, I can't think of another time where I liked him, is what I said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I misheard. I take everything back, Eric. I take it all back.
I said outside of Rusev Day, I've never really cared for the dude, is what I said.
On wax, Eric.
That's what I said.
I said some things. I take them back. I said what I said. I'll take it back though.
Okay. Well, then that's cool. But I mean, so I say that saying that sometimes you got to, like Herb said, hit the nail on the head. You got to protect your bigs, man. And they ain't doing a good job. I
can say Vince is a big guy. That's insane. He loves big men. And
yeah, but yay,
I just don't know how. I mean, y'all got the answers. Y'all like The Fiend a little bit more than I do. But it's starting to actually grow on me. Like, I'm not really mad at it.
He's got the best entrance in the business.
Right now.
The best entrance in the business.
Yeah, yeah, pretty dope. And I think...
Right now. I'm talking all of wrestling.
Yeah, I said that on Sunday. Yeah, I agree with you all on that. And I actually said it's actually kind of growing on me. I'm not all the way at the barbecue table with him just yet. But I'm giving it a chance. But even for me, I'm trying to... And this is where y'all can help me out. I don't know how he comes back from this. Does he go back after Roman? Like, what does Roman do?
Here's the thing. The Fiend doesn't need a title, just like The Undertaker.
So then leave him off
of
the title picture then. Have him just go back to Braun then.
Well, I think that's what they're doing. I think that's what they're building towards, like a little love story.
Stable.
Make love story.
Why not let Braun join The Fiend? Why not?
That could be a possibility.
Ray could have Braun. He can have Alexa. There'll be the little three, you know, amigos, Braun, and, you know, and then Bray is like seven different people anyway. So, I mean, I think he's going to end up recruiting Braun at some point. It's just that right now, The Fiend is a face, man. He's like, he's not a heel. Like, nobody's booing
either,
The Fiend.
Though. You can't be a face.
Like, yeah, I think he's just nobody's booing him. Who's booing the man?
Because ain't nobody in the building.
But let's be honest.
I'm just saying. Do you think there's fans out there who are literally cheering against The Fiend for the man to lose?
Yeah, people.
No, that's my question.
Maybe kids.
After that match that we don't talk about much, like, because it never really happened, but it happened.
Just stop it.
You know what match?
The match we will never mention?
It's on the network still somewhere. I'm not going to tell you where it was, but it's there. But yeah, I think that was when people were just like, nah, this ain't it for me.
That's where I turned out. Yeah, that was it for me.
You had a hot line.
It was really against Finn. I mean, it was really the Finn Balor match, I think, at last year's SummerSlam that kind of did me. But, I mean, it was that other pay-per-view that we don't talk about that really turned me against him. But I'm trying to give him a second chance just due to the fact that I can't disagree with him anymore that he has legitimately the best interest in wrestling. And that, you know, one thing about me is I love entrances. And if you can come in with a dope entrance, then you have my attention. And he definitely has my attention. So, I just don't know what he... I mean, Ken, you probably said it, right? He might be able to just be able to feud with Braun and they come up with some type of love-hate relationship and stable and yada, yada, yada. I mean, that's cool and all, but... I mean, I think we live in a day and time where the sports entertainment aspect of wrestling has kind of pivoted from these monster feuds. Yeah, so I don't know how this dude is going to be able... I don't know. I think that The Fiend is in the wrong generation, bro. Like, I honestly think he was more geared towards the Attitude. Like, he would have been great in the Attitude Era. I don't know how he's going to be able to thrive in this PG you know, I don't even know what kind of era this is, but the PG era is.
The weird thing is the sponsors love the Fiend. That Fox wanted Bray on SmackDown.
So
he's a moneymaker, sells merchandise.
Yeah, they might be building up for a Roman Fiend Mania. We might get a big payout. And guess
what? Fiend gonna be the face.
Yeah. Right.
So,
because
he's gonna be the face on paper, but like, is he really a face though?
Do you understand how much money they're gonna make from that match?
That's if there's even a Mania next year. That's gonna be actually at the stadium.
Eric, the Fiend has been a face since day one. Since he started doing the vignettes.
Yep.
Exists. There's never been a point where people have been like, we need to boo this man. Ever.
When he buried Finn Balor?
What? No, he saved Finn Balor. What are you talking about? Look what Finn Balor just did.
Finn is about to become NXT champion, man.
He's about to put out of the fucking rope-a-dope, bro. This is amazing.
He saved Finn's career. That's what he did.
Sure, we can call it that. Okay.
He forced Finn to get repackaged and go to NXT.
I love that. And if there's a continuality of that, like if you lose to the Fiend, you kind of revert back to like
you got to change.
You got to go back.
That's fair. Where, I mean, that's fair.
Seth is a horrible
heel now.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at Seth being. Side note, we need to talk about Braun Strowman. Like, did somebody not give this man some T-Hall clippers and then line that man up before that match?
I don't know. What the
fuck? Somebody give him some T-clippers and line that man head up, man? Like, what was that?
You know how somebody stopped you from doing something because you're next? Like, I feel like Braun just got in the chair and they're like, Braun, y'all on next. I'm what?
Yeah, bro.
Like, couldn't nobody offer that man a big razor and just let him bake the rest of his head? Like, what was going on there?
Y'all ain't got that mask back there, huh? Because the mask had hair on it, I think. So maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Which pissed me off my whole life when I found out Kane like had hair.
Yeah, he had a wig on. Yeah. Wild, bro.
Yeah, that surprised me. I never knew. I just thought that was like legit his hair.
Me too. I thought I didn't see that coming at all. So overall, we were going to give that a pay-per-view a 3 out of 5. It was a strong 3.
Give it a 3.
It was better than I thought it would be.
Like, a solid 3.
I've seen better, but for what they had as legitimately 1 week after SummerSlam, it wasn't that bad. Like, I wasn't disengaged out of the pay-per-view. I don't know if it's because I was watching it with y'all, but I mean, even if I watched it alone, I don't think I would have turned it off.
I think it was a glorified house show, if we're going to be real.
True. I mean, there's that. there's that. So
I think it should have been a network special.
Those are
like how they had Beast from the East and what was it? Great Balls of Fire.
Man, no.
I enjoyed Great Balls of Fire.
Roadblock.
Yeah.
Roadblock was another one.
You know what I remember Great Balls of Fire for? Joe putting hands on Brock, man. And I really thought Joe was on the up and up.
Had Brock shook.
They had a great storyline.
They did.
Heyman, you know, man.
He should have went over.
Joe went up on Heyman on Raw and whispered in that man's ear, like, yo, it's going to hurt, you know? And I'm not going to go easy on you, but I need you to, you know, go and let Brock know when it's time. He's going to get these hands too. But Paul, you know, I hate to do this to you, but you're about to get it. And he just whispered that. All you heard is, you know, he wasn't on the mic or anything. And I was like, man, that's great storytelling. That's amazing.
He ain't got his due credit since he got Kane.
Give my dog really his flowers now, man. Son.
Yeah. He didn't really get it. He got a decent push in NXT, but, you know.
He was NXT at a point in time.
He was, yeah. He was Finn Balor, actually. With Finn Balor. I forgot he had a few with Finn and Shinsuke. So
we're going to have to talk about the classes of NXT one time, like one day, because those are some classes.
Table that too. NXT classes.
Yeah, so with that, I mean, we got that. We got AEW All Out this weekend. I don't know if I'm a cop it. I'm a cop it just because it's Saturday. And we're still in quarantine. So I think I'm a cop that.
I got to look at the card to see what was... Cause, one thing I really care about in AEW is Orange Cassidy.
So he's fighting Chris Jericho. So here's the thing why I'm super duper on the fence, and I know I'm about to catch up from all of y'all on this one.
I hope you know.
You about to say something about Orange Cassidy?
No, I love Orange Cassidy. I ain't never heard of it. I'm digging it. I can't get jiggy with MJF, bro. I can't.
Oh man, that's here's what I would say. Outside of Randy Orton,
he looks like the Miz.
MJF as the second best heel in the game. No, that's a lot. No, yeah, heel. And I can't say Jericho because Jericho does everything. So I can't say he's the best heel because Jericho is also like
Suzuki's a
better. Granted, like with Orton, at the drop of a dime, he can make you hate him. But Jericho's too popular to really be hated, man. He's too popular. Like everybody loves Jericho for putting AEW on his back.
Orton is a good heel at the time. Like, he's a good heel currently.
Right. Orton is always a good heel most of the time. Most of the time, he's a good heel.
Yeah. Most of the time, he's a better heel than he is a face.
That's for sure.
He misses it sometimes.
Here's the thing about MJF. One, I just feel like he tries too hard with his promos. Like, he be reaching. So the whole thing with Jon Moxley that he sat there and tried to use in Titan comparisons and talking about he's a new Stone Cold Steve Austin, like, bro, all you're doing is literally reading what you're finding on the internet and just saying it on wax. Like, I'm not impressed by anything he says. Like, I just feel like he tries. And then not to mention, it ain't really that hard to be a heel. Like, the stuff he be saying is not that hard. Like, it's not hard to come up with heat. And I'm just
let me touch on it.
Oh, God. Go ahead.
So let me touch on this, because you said it's not that hard to be a heel, right?
It's not.
So, is Dolph Ziggler succeeding?
No one likes
Dolph. It should have been me.
That was the worst.
Ziggler, so let me ask you this. So
is Dolph Ziggler even on the main roster still?
It ain't that hard to be a heel, that's right?
You know he is.
He was on Raw. He was on Raw.
I didn't watch Raw. I didn't see it. So here's the thing about MJF. He's another person where I'm not giving you a dime, bro. Like, you're not worth my time.
Damn.
MJF
Maxwell Jacob
legitimately makes me want to punch him in the face.
No, and he's another one that I just
and
get up and walk out.
If it ain't me, I would like to see somebody else do so. Like, he's a person. Cool.
No.
Because of his mouth, you would like to see, you know, sometimes.
I feel like he's also probably dropped the N-word once upon a time in his life.
I can see that.
I feel like
I can see that happening, especially in college.
If you're white, you've probably tried it out.
Yeah, I think he looks like he's got it in him. Like, you can find some Twitter threads on him. Like, he's probably on Reddit.
I almost brought up my racist Hogan impression, but we'll save that for another episode.
But
did somebody say brother?
So I say that saying that I'm very, very, very conscientious of who I give my dollar to. So when he fought, I think that was, who did he fight in Revolution? The one in Chicago. Whatever the last pay-per-view that was actually with people in, I was there. And when MJF got in the ring, guess what I did? I got up and I walked out. That's what I do. So, and it's not disrespectful. I'm just conscientious of who I want to give my time and energy to. He's somebody I just refuse to give my time and energy to. When he comes on the TV, I change the channel back to NXT. Or I fast forward it, because it's usually on DVR.
I would say I don't watch AEW as much as you guys do. But I can tell you, like, I'm with Eric on this. Like, whenever he comes on, nothing makes me want to stay in front of the TV and watch him.
Yeah. I'm not impressed with him, bro. Like, it's not funny. I don't find he's not entertaining. So
the scarf, Jericho when I see the scarf. So that doesn't help
I'm
me
I'm very
out.
Entertained. The scarf thing did, you know, was, especially when him and Jericho were kind of fake feuding. And Jericho was being a hypocrite. And he was like, what type of grown man wears a scarf? That's stupid. And Jericho, out of all people,
hard,
saying
bro.
That, man.
Yeah.
He tries too hard.
I think it's sort of like it's a 50-50 thing. You know, a lot of people were 50-50 about Orange Cass for a long time.
I was.
And you know, it just took a little while for folks to get on board. So.
So I'm saying that I'm super duper on the fence with this fool being in the main event. If he was on the undercard, I would probably cop it in no problems at all. So. I don't know. I'm super torn on it, and plus, I don't know. I feel like, hey, and I hate to pivot over to all out, but you know, we're trying to segue into something else. But I don't know. I feel like AEW, they at first when the whole shutdown happened, they was rocking and rolling, but I feel like they're kind of losing they slide a little bit. Yeah, they kind of losing a little bit of momentum right now, and I don't even know how they fix it, because I'm pretty sure before pre-Rona hit, they probably had all kinds of different people that was supposed to be coming, especially with Double or Nothing that took place in May, which is like their equivalent to WrestleMania. I'm pretty sure there was some huge surprises, but they ain't did Brian Cage right. They didn't do
Shit, I forgot about Brian Cage.
They didn't do Brian. They didn't do any of the bigs who they were building up.
Yep.
That were
I can't
in
even think of the guy that beat
but there's
Cody,
hope.
Cody.
There's hope because Brody Lee didn't just beat Cody.
He did.
He squashed Cody. He beat the brakes off Cody. They didn't want any doubt.
But so here's the problem when I got there. That. So that gives the Dark Order some type of validity. But who's the guy with Jake the Snake? His name is Lance Foyt back in
Lance Archer.
Lance Archer. Thank you. Like Lance Archer came
did him
in
dirty
and literally
too.
killed
everybody.
And he faces Cody. And Kane and his big time, like that's the one that should have killed Cody was Lance Archer. It should have been him. Like I'm not knocking Brody Lee. I don't have nothing.
I think they realized the error of their ways and now they're trying to make up for it.
But then at the same time, they were making the Elite just. I mean, everybody was going over to Elite, and you know now we got they was low-key losing their street cred. You know they was the Bullet Club. They was the Elite of the Bullet Club, and then they came to AEW and they was out here taking L's left and right. Cody leaves the Elite and starts this American Nightmare with QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes and whatnot. And now I don't know what the hell is going on over there, but I feel like they low-key starting to lose their momentum. And like you said, Ken, maybe the biggest hope is that Brody Lee will give some type of validity to the bigs. But I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. You had Brian Cage make his debut, win the doggone the buy-in, and then takes the L against John Moxley. I don't know. What you got, man?
Yeah.
Yep. So, anybody else want to contribute to that, or we good?
I think we're good on that. Let's go ahead. Go ahead, Herb.
My whole thing is like, I don't know. Like MJF is really going to like come into his own over there, dude. Like I really have full faith that he's talking that hot shit because he's gonna back it.
You think you're going to beat John Moxley this Saturday?
On some bullshit. It ain't going to be
clean. He beats John Moxley.
It's not going to be clean. John Moxley's wrestling his lawyer this week. So
if this dude ends up being the AEW champion, I'm probably going to be cool off AEW until he gives the belt up. That's legit.
Pull the trigger now. Pull the trigger now while it's...
I think I may have to pull the plug on AEW.
If you made him give that, you know, state of wrestling or state of AEW address and be that passionate about something, you got to pull the trigger now. Because that was the most talked about, you know, promo for at least a good 2 weeks.
But that's my thing, bro. Like, was it a good talked about promo because we're in Corona, or was it a good promo because it was a great promo? And I feel like everyone was talking about it because there was nothing else on TV. And he sat there and dropped a couple of little WWE hints and references, but I wasn't impressed with it because he was trying too hard to sit there and say that John Moxley came from Titan Towers and he comes in looking like Stone Cold. And you trying too hard, bro. You reaching now. All you doing is literally just scrolling your thumb in Twitter and just saying what you want to say on the mic. And that's what AEW lets them do, is literally create their own promos. So it's nothing original because I've seen it on the internet already. So Kendall probably will say, well, it's cool because he actually said it on Wax, but I mean, I can read something on the internet and be like, all right, bet. He said, okay, cool. So that's my thing about him. So if he's that passionate, okay, he better win. But if he does, I'm probably going to check out an AEW.
Oh, God. You know I'm going to force you to make the conscious decision to come back. We got Kool-Aid over. Join the Dark Order, man. We got Kool-Aid and shit.
I mean, I probably would eventually. So there is that. So, we'll see what ends up happening. But I know one thing that we want to talk about that ain't really wrestling related is the passing of Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther, the man who played Jackie Robinson in 42, the man who played James Brown in Get On Up, and Thurgood Marshall in Marshall. The dude was, man.
He brought life to a lot of things that, like, needed to be like for other generations, because like, you know, we're kind of older, so we went to school and we've done our own research on these people that he played, but I'm just happy that he got to be, you know, the face for those things to make sure that they live on time and time again.
Right. I mean, so Go ahead, Merrick.
Yeah, I want, I think one thing I want to say, I want people, I guess, of other races to, I guess, kind of understand why us Black folks took it to heart the way we did. Black Panther, it's a character, it's a comic book character. You know, it's not based on anyone real, but the concept of what Black Panther stands for, the concept of Wakanda, that's something that we would love to see happen. We would love to see to become a rally. Obviously, with, you know, in the world that we're living in now, you know, past, you know, Mr. George Floyd passing, and you know, we got the, you know, the protests going around, and people are seeing our pain on display. And what Chadwick Boseman was like during that period of time when the movie launched was a bright spot for all of us. Like, we're all excited, you know, to see like a Black superhero on a silver screen, you know, breaking records, you know, right. Once again showing that people of color, you know, to be more specific, you know, a person that's Black can bring money to Hollywood, can make like yes. So you know, what he did throughout that time of his suffering for all of us is commendable. And you know, rest in peace, Mr. Chadwick. And you know, you will live on with us for sure.
I think the main thing is just like why we even started this, dude. He was a big part of just representation for our people, man. It was amazing to see children, like, you know, rushing. Like, I was working at Hot Topic at this time, and people would legitimately come in that store just for Black Panther merchandise. Like, probably one of the first movies. Yeah, I think it's the only Marvel movie to have, like, Oscar nominations.
For Best Picture. I didn't even know that.
Yes.
I didn't even know that part.
Amazing.
I found out on Sunday.
Wow. Yeah.
Sunday is when I found out Sunday that it was up for Best Picture. It's crazy. Mark, you brought up Mark and Herb, you brought up a good part of, you know, representation. You know, Black Panther was definitely what probably a lot of people remember him for, but for me, actually, I think it was not too long ago. I was actually wearing a Jackie Robinson throwback jersey when I think I was in California or something like that. And somebody was like, "Hey, bro, like, you a diehard San Francisco Giants fan? What you doing with a Dodgers jersey on?" And I legit just said, "It's Jackie Robinson." And it was like, "Oh, got it." And for me, I wore the Jackie Robinson jersey because not only do I think of what Jackie Robinson did to pave what we're doing now, but also because of the movie 42. That it was Chadwick Boseman's first movie, you know, his first breakout film, and like that movie. You know, we hear stories about Jackie Robinson. We see other people talking about it. But for someone to actually portray the life that Jackie Robinson had, it was crazy to see everything that he went through on a silver screen and to be the person that he was. So that's one thing that came to my mind. Second thing is, outside of everybody else, believe it or not, James Brown's literally my favorite artist outside of maybe Prince. James Brown is literally my favorite artist. So there's a going joke in my family that every Friday when I used to get ready for work, I would listen to James Brown. So when Get On Up came out, like, bro, that's probably my favorite movie of all time, just because it's my favorite artist and probably my favorite actor. So, you know, when people say that, you know, I never understood why, you know, people cry when celebrities die. Like, I couldn't understand that. And there was some type of disconnect. But when Chadwick Boseman died, y'all, I'm not even gonna lie, bro, I was hurting. Like, I legit cried. And I ain't never cried for someone that I didn't know passed away. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we always talk about our Denzel, Samuel Jackson's, Spike Lee's, you know, our top, you know, those are always going to be our forefathers as far as the acting Mount Rushmore in the Black community goes. But Chadwick Boseman was like our millennial dude. Like, he was that person for us. You know, he was that, you know, nothing against Denzel and Samuel and all that other stuff, all those other great actors, but he was he was there already. Like, my man was knocking at the door ready to sit on the table with these guys at the dinner table to eat with them, which was crazy that in just four or five short films, this dude was already one of the top Black actors, probably one of the best actors, not Black or white, just actors in general.
Yeah.
And he just killed it. He kills it in everything that he did. And then to find out that he was doing this, a majority of the stuff, the two Avengers movie, the Black Panther movie, and I believe Marshall, all while having cancer, bro. Like, dog, that's crazy that you legit had to pick up three superhero movies, and then learn and then go through Thurgood Marshall's background. It was just crazy that this man was able to do it. Nobody knew that he had cancer, and the fact that he beat, you know, he did all of that, was going through chemotherapy and still able to make it to the set without nobody noticing, man. Bro, that's
commendable level, man. Yeah, that does, yeah. Really does.
Yeah.
And I just don't.
It adds to that legend, man, that he really was a hero, dog. He was really a superhero for us.
Yeah, yeah. So, rest in peace to Mr. Boswick, his family. And with that being said, this is our first episode. We plan on doing this weekly. It's going to be available on all platforms. We're probably going to try to do a YouTube channel pretty soon. So with that being said, we will run this back. We hope y'all enjoyed it. And
look who made it back before.
We just got Kendall back. I was not going to say nothing and let you slide on out like you was at church and put your little one finger up that you done left the congregation. And here you come, sliding back in. So now I can put you on blast that you fell out for the last 15 minutes of this podcast. And here you come, sliding back in. And this is why we do pilot episodes, ladies and gentlemen.
Kendall went back to fish the Vance about everything we said.
I don't know what's going on.
We wrapping up the show. What's going on?
My phone.
All right, so the show. So in 5 minutes, because we should probably hear me. We can hear you, Kendall. We can hear you. Can you hear us pretty good, buddy?
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, Kendall.
Wait. Oh, okay. I was saying something, but I wasn't getting a response. That's what happened on my other phone. I started speaking.
We're live right now, bro.
Huh?
We're live right now, man.
leave it in.
I am well aware.
We have to leave this in.
All right. We have to. So, Kendall, in 2 minutes, give us your thoughts on Chadwick Boseman and his passing.
Okay. Just to be clear, y'all can hear me, correct?
Correct.
Yes, Kendall, we can hear you. Right.
Yes, Grandpa.
Hey, I'm on an iPhone 7 Plus. I had to switch devices, so
don't blame it on the technology. We just want to
technology, but nah, just to get from wrestling to that. That is something that I'll just start here. I think Chadwick, he bought a lot of pride, you know, to the culture itself, to Black culture in general, and made people, you know, be proud to feel represented. Like at the end of the day, I personally feel like he brought, you know, all of our heroes to life, like real heroes. Like he, you know, it wasn't just like, of course, his biggest role being Black Panther. But you know, he also played James Brown. He played Thurgood Marshall. He played Jackie Robinson. Sorry, that was my fiance yelling at me. You know,
hey Angel,
forget that. But no, he's played like prominent Black figures. You know, and he's even spoken up about it. You know, like, hey, when I was sort of on an up and up, you know, I had a chance to make a lot of money on the soap opera and play this, you know, stereotypical Black character. You know, when I started asking questions about it and the background and, you know, how this would look, you know, to everybody else, the producers, they weren't really on board with it, and they fired me for it, you know. And he's like, I'm kind of glad it happened, you know, because I thought I was untouchable. But he was a conscious actor. So he made sure anything he was putting his hands on or was touching, you know, was going to mean something and was going to have something behind it. Plus, he is a fellow graduate of HBCU. I didn't attend Howard, but I'm familiar with Howard. I went to Fisk University in Southern. Shout out to everybody, you know, who got the opportunity or chance to attend an HBCU. But you know, he was a Howard grad. They dubbed that university Wakanda University. You know, he got to go out and speak at their commencement address back in 2018. You know, just what, 3 months shy of after Black Panther really took off in February. You know, but he's meant a lot to you know, not just adults but kids too.
Yeah.
Thinking about how many, you know, black kids were able to look on screen and see like a legit black superhero, you know, as the lead character. You know, you go and think and look at your superhero movies and think of, you know, the most popular famous one you can think of up until now. And it doesn't even come close to Black Panther. You know, and just his, like he, you know, he was a legend, you know, he the work he's done in the short amount of time is gonna live beyond him. Yeah. And if you look at and just think in general, like even what has it been, I think 4 days since his passing, what negative commentary has come out about Chadwick from anybody? Fox, it doesn't matter, you know, we know how Fox does not like black people. I said it, but you know, that's the negative article on Chadwick, man.
You can't find one.
That dude is that's his impact, you know. And that's
Bro is respected by everybody. He's respected by his peers, fans, random. That speaks to somebody's character, dude. When the people you work with have such positive things to say about you, and like all these, like after all these years, not one negative thing can be said about you, man. You've lived a very
right. Even the people who were speaking negative, you know, when they was calling him, you know, like Crack Panther, and saying he looked like a crackhead, and you know, well, maybe he's losing weight for a role and this and that, and you know, he's sort of getting negative press there. Everybody's feeling like crap, you know, because they're like, wow, it was because of this, you know, and that really just speaks to, you know, how we should treat each other, man. You know, just because it's a lot of people spoke negatively, and now they having to eat their words, and they feeling pretty bad because of it.
Yeah, big facts. Well, we was gonna let you slide out without, you know, nobody noticing. But, you know, came crashing back down. So, I mean, well said.
You pretty much pulled up like Roman did.
Yeah, you pulled up like Roman did, and you wrecked everything, and you wrecked everyone. So. Yeah, so we hope everybody enjoyed it, and we will definitely run this back next week.
Shout out to New Day. Thank you so much, New Day, for being you. You're the big reason why we're able to do what we're doing right now, so thank you, New Day, for real.
I want to say the same thing, Mark, and if they ever, you know, hear any one of ours, I would be more than ecstatic. Y'all three brothers are great representation. We'll probably dedicate an episode just to y'all, and what y'all have meant to the business and, you know, just black culture in general. You know, because it's been said best. If you've had the chance to listen to their podcast on racial injustice, they're giving a whole fresh perspective to, you know, black wrestlers in general. We can have fun. We have different, you know, there's layers to us. We're just not the angry person out there, you know, throwing up fists mad at the world, you know. We can have fun, we can have emotions, we can be happy, we can be sad, like, so shout out to the New Day.
All right, well, that is gonna do episode one. We're gonna run it back next week, y'all. So other than that, love one another, and we out.
All right, peace and much love.
Deuces.
Deuces.
Peace and stuff.